to be careful how I read these next couple of stats because I want the broader picture, which we'll get in a moment. But looking at some data that was available after the last couple of years, about 13 to 16% of folks that die by suicide over the age of 18 had job or finance or housing problems noted as contributing circumstances. People in problem debt or severe debt several times more likely to think or attempt suicide. But of course, it's often multifactorial. Financial strain, and we're here on Your Money Matters, which is why I bring it up, can be an amplifying factor, but it is complicated. And the more we can do to talk about it and learn more about it and raise money to help prevent it or lower how much it happens, the better. And WGN, a proud sponsor of the AFSP and the Chicagoland Out of the Darkness Walk, which is next Saturday. And we have Dr. Cynthia Pidapati to join us right now from DePaul and AFSP. Dr. Pidapati, welcome to WGN.
Thank you so much for having me.
I wanted to be careful about those stats because, of course, it is multifactorial, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And financial strain can just be one of the factors or not a factor at all. Tell me what the mission is. I mean, the mission ultimately has got to be to eliminate as much of suicide as possible, right?
Yes. AFSP's goal is to prevent suicide and save lives. We also like to provide hope to all those who have been affected by suicide in all the work that we do.
How does that manifest itself? Is it about talking about it more, lowering the stigma of mental health issues on a whole like we've been doing? Is it raising money to just educate more people? I mean, what do you actually do?
It's all that and more. So we have like a three-pronged mission. So education, awareness, as you talked about, we do a lot of programming out in the communities, which are free, by the way. So for anyone that wants to bring the education programs to their workplace, their communities, we can do that. We also do support for those who have lost someone to suicide, which turns out to be really important for many of us. And then we also do research. So we are the nation's leading nonprofit funder in suicide prevention research.
That's amazing. Language is important. For years, we say someone committed suicide. Now we say died by suicide. Can you explain that change and why that's important?
Yes. So the word committed has always had associations with like committing a crime or committing a sin. So when we break that apart and kind of tease that apart, we want to be able to talk about suicide in the way that doesn't punish or penalize people or make it seem like they've done something wrong or bad. So kind of disconnecting that idea of criminology or like a religious sin.
Interesting. Suicide, obviously it'd be great to get the number to zero. That seems almost insensitive to say, as if there's a flip of a switch we can do to make suicide preventable. So I ask, and I know that it's a complicated answer, is suicide preventable?
It is. So over 50% of Americans believe that suicide in some cases is preventable. And so while we may not be able to prevent every death by suicide, we do everything we can to reduce that number as much as possible.
I mean, social media, I don't know if the numbers bear this out. And again, it's just another factor in what happens. But social media has got to be playing a role in especially young people's lives as it gets to all mental health, right?
Yes. And I think that when we talk about social media, there's a power to both harm and help. And so what we try to do with young people is try to figure out, okay, how can they leverage social media in a way that lifts them up, that creates more positivity in their lives instead of, you know, kind of going down that rabbit hole of comparing themselves to other people, thinking like everyone's life is so amazing. But if we can kind of use social media to be able to support our young people, that's a positive aspect of it.
And that's frighten anyone, but I read an incredible report by the New York Times about how AI chatbots are even creating feedback loops that can send people into dark corners, and an incredible story of ChatGPT not assisting in a suicide, but certainly ignoring a lot of warning signs that a teen was putting into ChatGPT. Suffice just to say that we always need to be evolving how we think, talk, and find different ways to prevent this from happening.
Yes. And actually here in Illinois, there is new legislation out there to prevent AI from becoming kind of a pseudotherapist. So there is recognition right now that this is an issue. We want to make sure we protect young people from being harmed by, as you said, kind of bots and not real life people out there.
Let's give some people something to chew on. What are some maybe people have heard this before, but it always helps to hear it again. What are some signs that someone is acting in a way that at least rises to the level of talking to them or maybe talking to someone that they know that you might be concerned.
Yeah. If anyone displays a change in behavior, let's say they're really outgoing and social and like to spend time with friends, all of a sudden they're more withdrawn, not spending as much time with their loved ones, not doing things that they used to, things that they're interested in. We want to ask them, what's going on? You know, how are you?
And that's part one of that conversation. What if, you know, you don't get much out of that? What do you do next? Like, what is our responsibility as either friends or people that we know to alert someone? Like, I wouldn't know who to even call. Call their spouse? I don't know what to do.
That's a great question. So at AFSB, we always say that it's okay to talk directly about suicide. So if you are worried about someone, you can ask them directly, have you thoughts about ending your life? Hmm. And if they say yes, you can continue with some follow-up questions. There's also 988, which is our suicide and crisis lifeline that can be accessed 24/7 via talk, text, chat, which is a great resource for people who are struggling at that moment, or also people that care about them. So as if our family member or a loved one or a friend is in crisis or just struggling, we can call them as well.
I hadn't thought about the direct answer. I think we all want to be so sensitive to it. And I would find that to be so hard to ask. But if people who are thinking through this, I don't know about, I'm not to paint with a broad brush, many of them are looking for someone who cares.
Yes.
And to be seen. And that question can be a representation of being seen, can it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And most people who are already thinking about these things actually are appreciative that someone is taking the time and asking that question directly. It's almost like a relief, like, okay, someone's finally asking the question that maybe I'm too embarrassed or ashamed or afraid or sad or worried to say.
We could talk about this stuff forever. I do want to make sure we mention the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention Out of the Darkness Chicagoland Walk, which is next Saturday at Montrose Harbor. This walk is about bringing people together. It's about raising some money, having conversations, isn't it?
Yes, it's an amazing event at Montrose Harbor. Thousands of people come. And I would be remiss to say that we're in Chicago and we have the largest walk in the nation. And it's a wonderful, wonderful event.
And even though it obviously is a walk talking about preventing suicide, it can be I don't want to say a celebration, but it can be a fun day, right? You bring your family. It could be something fun to be with each other, right?
Yes. It's a cause of celebration and bringing people together, those who have lost someone by suicide, those who are struggling, and those who really just want to support mental health for all of us.
The website, chicagowalk.org or afsp.org/Illinois. Great stuff. I hope that you get the word out. A lot of people show up. Dr. Pardipati, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us, John.